Welcome in, everybody, to the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you here today, Wednesday, September 19th, alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. Gino, what's going on, man? Go Birds!
Yeah, fly, Eagles, fly. We're halfway through the week. We're almost to game day, getting closer.
That's right. We're getting towards game day as the Eagles take on the Colts this Sunday. And, Gino, for the first couple days of the week for our podcast, we didn't really touch a whole – I mean, we did our recap show on the Buccaneers, but we haven't really got into this matchup with the Colts coming up because of all the different headlines with the Eagles this week that haven't really had to do with the matchups that they've been involved in week two and week three, and they brought in Jordan Matthews yesterday. There's rumors that Jeremy Maclin might be coming in for a workout next week. That's courtesy of John Clark of NBC Philadelphia. You sent me that actually right after the show yesterday, so there's a bunch of player personnel headlines throughout the week that we've been talking about, and Carson Wentz coming back. So, you know, now though, today, let's get into, you know, keening in on this Indianapolis Colts team that features a familiar face in Frank Reich, their head coach, who was the Eagles offensive coordinator for 2 years, including last year when they won the Super Bowl. And I think this is going to be an interesting test. You know, I think this could be a really interesting quarterback battle, obviously, too, between Carson Wentz and Andrew Luck.
For sure, yeah. Frank, he helped Doug tremendously in sculpting that offense, and if you just watched any of the first two games, you can see a lot of that Eagles offense, a lot of the same concepts, a lot of the same runs.
Yeah,
it's very identical, so you can definitely tell that they kind of rubbed off on each other, and you're gonna have to change up some of the signals, but you'll see some familiar plays that the defense, I'm sure, will key on, and it should be fun to see who can adjust their offensive more to get the best out of their team and one up the other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Frank Reich, I think his role maybe was a little bit, I don't want to say diminished, but I think it was underappreciated until really these documentaries came out and you really saw the impact he had and the game planning. And I love seeing the video of him on the phone with Carson Wentz when they first drafted him and how he was a part of that process of getting the quarterback, trading up to pick two and evaluating it and selecting Carson Wentz as the right guy, because for all we know, they could have, if they moved up to one. I mean, maybe they liked Jared Goff more, but they, even if they were at pick one, it seemed like they were going to take Carson Wentz. So Frank Reich had a huge part of that as well. But because Doug Peterson's such a good play caller, and John DeFilippo was the new young up and coming Sean McVay type, and Carson Wentz was one of the best quarterbacks in football last year, Frank Reich kind of just was stuck there in the middle and wasn't really talked about a whole lot. But yeah, you're right. Like, looking at the film, we'll get into the Colts on the offensive side in the second segment, so not to give away too much, but I think their offense looks very similar to the Eagles, and although they're not extremely talented on either side of the ball yet, I think he has them playing some fast football on both sides here in the first 2 weeks.
It's funny that you said fast, because I don't remember what podcast I was listening to, but I credit whoever said it today that you haven't really seen too much of that hurry-up offense in the first 2 weeks for the Eagles, and so, I forgot whom. I wish I could credit who mentioned it, but they said they think that Frank Reich had a big part of that, and like you said, they play fast football. They have been getting to the line pretty quick just from the film that I've seen, and it's very familiar to that Carson Wentz ran offense last year, and they do play with good speed, and they've taken advantage of it in the first two games. I thought they looked pretty good against the Bengals. They had some missed opportunities, and then last game they come out and beat a Redskins team who looked pretty dominant week one.
Yeah, Frank Reich was a huge part of that fast-paced offense for the Colts, and you know, I think a lot of it too, though, was I don't know if the Eagles are holding back with what they were doing with Nick Foles in the first 2 weeks, but I really do think on the offensive side you're going to see the offense open up from a playbook perspective, not only because Jordan Matthews is a significant upgrade over Kamar Aiken and Shelton Gibson right now, but I think you're going to see some more 12 personnel against this Colts team that, Gino, they've struggled with tight ends so far this year. Tyler Eifert had a good week one showing against them. Jordan Reed had over 50 yards, or he had 55 receptions on 6 receptions, averaging almost 10 yards a pop from his side. So these Colts linebackers are not the strong suit of that defense, so I think you're going to see a little bit more of that as well. But this is going to be an interesting matchup. I think it could result in a high-scoring affair, or the Eagles' defense could totally shut down this Colts offense. But, you know, sticking on when the Eagles are on the offensive side of the ball, the Colts right now are 19th against the pass. They're 9th against the run. So it seems like you'd have a better, you know, idea of finding success against this defense when the Eagles are passing the football. And I think that's a good idea. And I think, but first you have to knock off the rust for Carson Wentz. I think my idea to start for Wentz, how to get him going in this game, would be kind of similar to what they did against Cleveland in his first ever game back in 2016. You get him rolling outside the pocket, some play action movement, get him some quick receptions, get the ball out to his tight ends. Remember, he was targeting Zach Ertz on that drive, and to Brent Celek and then Jordan Matthews, and then they really opened it up right after that. He took a shot, hit Matthews on that beautiful touchdown, and then hit Nelson Aguilar on that deep pass for a touchdown in that game. I think you're going to see a similar kind of route Doug Peterson's going to take with Wentz here, knocking off the rust after coming off a torn ACL. Get the ball up quickly to him, get him in a rhythm, get him feeling confident on that leg, and then that first drive, I bet you they take a shot to Nelson Aguilar. The Colts run a lot of man-on-man coverage, maybe a play-action bond to Nelson Aguilar, who's going to be playing on the outside. I think they're going to get Carson Wentz into it early. I don't think you're going to see a very conservative approach. I think, again, you might, for the first couple plays, get him just a couple nice passes to get that confidence going, and then I think you go. Because if Carson Wentz is healthy, you don't hold him back, if you ask me.
I think this is the game that we're going to see what we wanted to see last game against the Bucs, and I know it was kind of tough with the personnel that you put out there, with being down a couple receivers, not putting out Dallas Goedert as much, but I mean, just take a look at the secondary of this Colts team. Outside of Malik Hooker, who I think is an absolute stud at free safety, you have your starting corners are Kenny Moore the second and Nate Hairston. Not eye-popping names, really. And no. I think this is the game that you really have to get it and get in a rhythm early and get guys open in space, get the ball out of Carson's hands, let him get some confidence, and I'm totally with you. Just set a tone early, take a shot. You didn't really see too many shots last game, and Tempo was just able to sit back and just keep everything in front of him because there was no risk of anything getting behind him. So you have to scare him a little bit. You have to. I mean, they have a pretty good pass rush. Jabal Sheard absolutely dominated his first two games. Yeah. Darius Leonard at linebacker is leading the league in tackles, which is crazy to think about because he's a rookie. And there's a familiar name at Sam that I think we can exploit, and Najee Good. I'd like to see him get.
Najee Good, that's right.
Yeah, he's their Sam linebacker, crazy enough, but I think a very good game plan to follow would kind of be what Minnesota did in that first drive against us, where they just completely exposed Najee Good and get Ertz in a rhythm and get Goddard out there too. And just that's where they can exploit, is that middle of the field, because like you said, linebacker is their weak suit, and you're going to have to drop down a safety to try and help out that linebacking core, and it should open the field to take some shots. So I think with Carson, you're not as held back as much as you were with Nick, and I think the offense 100%. Will get a little more creative this game.
Yeah, and look, I went back and watched that Redskins game, and although Washington didn't put up a whole lot of points against that Colts defense, Alex Smith had a lot of time in that pocket to work with. He had a lot of time. Most of the time, he doesn't have a very strong receiving core that wasn't winning a lot of matchups down the field, but they were getting open underneath. This is a Colts defense, Gino. I don't know if you noticed this, but to me, they kind of remind me of the Atlanta defense, where they like to fly to the ball. They play really fast, instinctual defense. Not a lot of trickery. It's a lot of man-on-man coverage, again, like I said earlier. And look, I think the Eagles might be able to exploit that. Again, if they open up this playbook more, make it more complex with Carson Wentz, he's going to see some things that Nick Foles just didn't on the field the first two games. You know, we saw it. There were open plays down the field that Nick Foles was missing. And, you know, I think if you can get some of those linebackers and corners and safeties bodying on some of these offensive linemen, don't let them run as freely, and you try some different stuff, I think you might be able to get this Colts defense on their heels. I mean, this should not be a defense that's giving you a whole lot of trouble throughout the day, because, again, personnel-wise, you know, as a unit, they've played pretty well together thus far. I mean, again, ninth, they're a top 10 rushing defense right now. 19th against the pass isn't great, but it's also not one of the worst in the league. But regardless of their depth at wide receiver, with Carson Wentz back, if he is looking as healthy as we think he's going to be, this offense should not have trouble moving the football. You know, maybe if Nick Foles was there, I'd still say they could struggle. But again, with Doug Peterson opening up the playbook, I think they got to take advantage of how fast the Colts play on you know, the side, kind of like they did with the Falcons last year in the playoffs.
I think you hit it right on the head with how they play defense, and it is a very swarming defense to keep everything in front of them, and then as soon as a guy has the ball, you see guys right on top of them. So, I mean, working in some double moves, some sluggos, hopefully Shelton Gibson can get involved a little more.
Right, the things that beat you the most, I think you got to do that against this Colts defense.
Yeah, why not take something that you, exactly like you said, that you've seen that works against a subpar secondary and subpar corners and just use it to your advantage? And I think Carson, like I've said in the past, has a better command of the line of scrimmage and can work around those guys to get those matchups to happen. You see it a lot with the better quarterbacks, just like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. They always take advantage of those matchups. When you see you add another safety onto the field or you take a linebacker off, he'll take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm confident that Doug is going to allow him to have freedom with the offense. I didn't really think he gave Nick too much freedom. And didn't really get
right. Didn't you feel
rhythm.
Like he was kind of holding back? I mean, it was also because of the personnel he had on offense. I mean, everyone was banged up. It kind of reminded me of 2016, where Peterson just didn't feel like he had the full freedom to do what he wanted with the offense just because of
Agreed.
Who he had there on the field.
Agreed.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I think with Carson Wentz, this opens up a whole line. Adding Jordan Matthews, too, it's going to help. And you're going to have Jordan Matthews there in the slot. With Aguilar on the outside, you'll probably have an 11 personnel because Doug's going to want to use a lot of 11 personnel. You'll have Shelton Gibson or Kamari Aiken probably rotating there on the outside. But I do want to see, and this is a credit to Michael Kiss for naming this the package, but the Goddard's package. With Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, I do want to see that against these Colts linebackers where you don't have to use Aiken or Shelton Gibson on the field a whole lot. If you split out Ertz wide or you put Dallas Goedert, who had success in college, on the outside, you put one of those guys out wide and have one of them as a standard tight end on the line of scrimmage, and you have Jordan Matthews inside and Nelson Aguilar. I think that's another key to the success of this team is to use those tight ends. And I know it's been the theme all week is to get Dallas Goedert involved, but I really think they should. I mean, he showed flashes of it against Atlanta, that touchdown that wasn't a touchdown where he just went over the Atlanta defender and caught that ball in the end zone. I think Carson Wentz, too, being there would give him more opportunities to make plays down the field that Nick Foles wouldn't. And I think, you know, you got to trust your tight ends because sometimes not everyone's going to gain the separation that Zach Ertz does on defenders. So even if Goddard doesn't look like he's open, I feel like Carson Wentz is a guy that'll trust him to make plays on the ball, kind of like he did with Trey Burton against the Rams last year in his last start since tearing that ACL.
I think we really failed to command the middle of the field the last two games, and that really killed us. And in the Tampa game especially, you saw it with Nick. If you look at the advanced stat heat map of where he threw the ball, everything was outside the hash. At some point, you have to just have somebody – you have to have Zach just take over that middle of the field and make them condense their defense so it opens things up. They were just able to play free and just take away everything, it looked like. There wasn't much separation. They just need to get two tight ends involved. This is the game they need to do a lot of 12 personnel.
Yeah, I hope they do it.
You have to. It just doesn't make sense not to with the wide receivers you have. You're going to have Jordan Matthews coming in on 4 days of learning this playbook. Nelson Aguilar moving to the outside. You just have to have guys that are comfortable in the middle of the field that you know are going to catch and know that could get Carson in a rhythm. And can overpower these weak linebackers. I mean, Darius Leonard, he's leading the league in tackles, but he's still a rookie. Najee Good is what he is. And then Anthony Walker, he's just a middle-of-the-road guy. So
you should be able to exploit that with how talented these guys are as pass catchers.
Exactly. I agree 100%. We kind of played into Tampa's hand with Quan Alexander and Lavonte David. We played to their strengths. We didn't really take advantage of them as much, but those are two stud linebackers, so they should take over the middle of the field like they did. But this is the game where you have to take over the middle of the field, which will open things up on the outside. And I think Doug knows better not to do the same thing twice in a row. I mean, you saw it last year with the Kansas City game. Funny enough, it was week two,
yep.
And he was pressed for his play calling, not running it. The next game, he ran the living hell out of the ball. I think this game, he's going to feed Goddard. I could see Goddard going for 6 receptions this game.
I hope so. Let me ask you something before we move on to the defensive side of the ball when Andrew Luck is on the field. Do you want them to use Wentz, I mean, or not even how they're going to use him, do you want Carson Wentz to continue to have that aggressive mentality even in his first game, or do you want him to be more conservative? Because I've seen some takes that they want him to be protective of the football, stay in the pocket, you know, just kind of get his feet wet, whereas for me, it's like, if he's healthy, then I want him going, and I think what makes Carson Wentz special isn't only his pocket awareness and his football IQ and his accuracy and his arm strength, but it's the ability to make plays with his feet and to, You know, those home run plays against Seattle to Nelson Aguilar, both of those incredible down the field throws, or against Washington. You know, to me, and he even said in his press conference, you know, he's not, I mean, he's got to do better at protecting himself, but even with the injury was in one of the biggest games of the season. He's trying to score a touchdown late in the game as it's close. I don't think that Carson Wentz is an RG3 or a Michael Vick type where he just never gets down and he always takes contact and continuously fights for more yards. Are there times where he does that and you're like, man, just get down? Yeah, 100%. But I went back and watched all his runs from last year and from 2016, and I think he improved dramatically from 2016 to 2017 in that area. So I'm full go with Carson Wentz this week. I want the aggressive mindset. I want him taking shots down the field. I don't want him to be scared to run the football, because if he is, and if the Eagles are concerned about that, then why is he playing?
I agree. I don't think he should be. He hasn't been really.
I don't want to read options. If he has an open field and he can rip off a 15-yard run and still get down, I don't want him to be scared to take that opportunity.
Yeah, I think there's a middle ground between a Vic and an RG3 post ACL tear. One, you don't want him to just sit in the pocket. Not yet this early in his career. Let him continue the way he has been playing. But on the other end of the spectrum, you don't want him to be like Vic and do what he did last year and run into three linebackers like he had, like he did against the Rams. Like, you definitely don't want that. But like you said, that is something that teams have to account for that they didn't have to account for with Nick. So, I mean, even if it's rolling him out of the pocket with the threat for him to scramble, that's going to have a linebacker take his eyes off of the guy he's defending for a split second. Use that to your advantage. You have to. You can't just let him sit in the pocket. And, I mean, if Jabal Sheard has one good pass rush, he could just go for his knee and take it out. Like, you can hurt your knee at any point in the game. It could roll up on an offensive lineman. You don't know, but you just don't want him to sit in the pocket just like a Tom Brady. You want him to use his skills. Like, he is a 6'6" beast of a human being, just built like an absolute truck for a quarterback. Allow him to use his physical traits.
Yeah, and we'd see Nick Foles rolling in these past 2 weeks, and the linebackers are just staying back. Like,
yeah, where's he going to go?
If Carson Wentz is running around, you have to kind of close in, and that can open some things up down the field, too. They're daring Nick Foles to try to take off and run. You know, they're not doing that with Carson Wentz because he is a big threat. So I think it's interesting, and
I think
I'm very interested to see how he plays.
I think the best example of this, the way I want him to play, look back to that Steeler game 2 years ago. Do you remember the Darren Sproles touchdown where he rolled out to the right? The linebacker came down to account for Wentz. Sproles just drops out. He drops the ball on a dime, and then he goes in for a touchdown. That's what you have to do. It's
when
a split-second thing.
They don't score that touchdown, probably, because the linebacker stays back on Sproles, whereas with that, he's kind of playing a matchup where Wentz kind of lures him in. If he comes in, he's going to throw it. If not, he's going to run. Whereas the linebacker with Foles is like, go ahead. I'm sitting back. You're not throwing it to Sproles.
Correct. You're spot on. I agree 100%, and that's exactly how I want them to use him. Don't design too many RPOs where he has the option to go into traffic and get hit.
Yeah.
Let him get his legs, roll him out a little bit, roll him to lane side because he's going to absolutely dominate again. Just give him a clean pocket, and I think it could be a good game. First game back, the juices are going to be flowing in the link. He wants to rip off at least 400 yards, I feel.
Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're going to flip sides of the field now. We're going to get to when Andrew Luck and the Colts are on offense. What are the Eagles' defense? What's their strategy? What are they going to do to slow down the former number one overall pick? That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. But, you know, before we get into it, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and usually it's what team to bet on this week. And the truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you do, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way over to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, the big fantasy gurus like myself, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Just don't bet on Ryan Fitzpatrick, because so far the predictions for him have been all over the place, and he's just been balling out. So I would recommend against sticking with the Fitzmagic story. But join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer, and visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E BOOKIE, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKDOWN when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, welcome back, guys. Lockdown Eagles podcast, Gino Camilleri alongside myself, Louis DiBiase. Getting into the Eagles defense versus the Colts offense as we're taking our first look at the Eagles week 3 matchup with the 1-1 Indianapolis Colts. And Gino, this is Jim Schwartz versus Frank Wright. We heard it in Jim Schwartz's press conference the other day. Jim Schwartz and Frank Wright would feed off each other last year. They would say, okay, did this non-blitz, did it fool you that it seemed like we were coming in? I mean, was it something we could sell that we could actually play it in a real game? You know, different stuff like that where they kind of fed off each other. It's going to be an interesting chess match between the two.
I agree. I think this is a very big test, and I think Jim wants to come out on top because the defensive guys always want to get the best of the offensive guys and vice versa, but you know Jim Schwartz's ego. He's gonna install some blitzes that he didn't throw out in practice last year that are hopefully gonna get to Andrew Luck.
You know Frank Wright's also gonna try some sluggo moves though on Jalen Mills.
He of all 1,000%
going to know to try to expose that, and that's why the Eagles have to play. And I don't think they're going to do it, but I wish they would play more matchup-based coverage. And especially with T.Y. Hilton in this game, just like we were talking about last week, throughout the week, what were me and you talking about? It was DeSean Jackson versus Jalen Mills. And what happened on the first play? A 75-yard bomb to DeSean Jackson. And I'm concerned about the same matchup with T.Y. Hilton. And look, I know they could, if Malcolm Jenkins is over the top, maybe that touchdown doesn't happen, but I just wish they would shadow Darby on T.Y. Hilton or, you know, when he's in the slot, which he was a lot last week. I trust Sidney Jones 100% on T.Y. Hilton, but when Jalen Mills is over there, you know Frank Wright's going to try to get T.Y. Hilton open in space. So if Mills is playing 10 yards off the ball, Hilton's going to run underneath routes or sluggos and he's going to burn Mills deep or, you know, he's just going to take those comeback routes that they did against Tampa last week. I need to see the adjustments from Jim Schwartz where sometimes he needs to bring his corners closer to the line of scrimmage to get a hand on T.Y. Hilton, rough him up a little bit. And I trust Darby and Jones to be able to run with him on press coverage. So I wish they would play more matchup-based corner for situations like this because I'm still concerned again with, you know, I'm not concerned with Jalen Mills when he's going up against guys like, you know, next week against a Corey Davis. I feel like, you know, the more overall, the taller receivers, the more well-rounded guys, I'm not really as concerned with Mills going up against them, but this is another week where he's going up against a speedster, and the matchup scares me, especially with Frank Reich knowing Jalen Mills' tendencies and his flaws.
I think Frank's going to try to expose it, without a doubt. He's going to try and get T.Y. on to Jalen Mills' side. But like you said, I think that was an interesting point that T.Y. does tend to line up in the slot more than most premier wide receivers do. It has been a trend that teams are moving towards to get their guys. I know the Saints are doing it a ton with Michael Thomas. But
I noticed A.J. Green did it a lot against this Colts team as well. So yeah.
And he had a great game against them, which I think Doug needs to figure out something there to expose that. But I think T.Y., he was probably one of the first like top-end wide receivers to really make their name in the slot, really. And I'm very interested with a Sidney Jones matchup. But outside of T.Y., I know you said you want to play matchup, but outside of T.Y., they really don't have anybody to worry about.
That's true.
Ryan Grant is their second receiver, Chester Rogers, Marcus Johnson. These are all guys that played second, third, fourth, and fifth fiddle in other teams.
But if you're the Colts, why would you not keep Hilton just on Jalen Mills' side the whole time if you know Jimmy Schwartz is not going to rotate his corners? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand why the Buccaneers the whole game didn't just have DeSean Jackson at wideout on the right side of the field. You know, and they probably won't do it that way because, again, they want to use him in the slot. But fine, go in the slot. I trust Sidney Jones more to handle it than Jalen Mills.
Correct. Yeah, you're definitely right there, but I think this is a game where you should just double T.Y. Hilton the whole game.
I would have McLeod just following him over top the entire game.
I think you got to play a lot of zone if he's on Mills' side. Just keep it in front of him and have a safety right there. You're going to have to because nobody's going to be outside of T.Y. Hilton. Nobody's going to burn past Ronald Darby. I like that matchup there.
And same with Sidney Jones inside. They don't have a threat inside. Like, you know, Chris Godwin even was a threat last week. It's really just T.Y. Hilton.
Correct. Yeah, the level of pass catching options from last week to this week is significantly decreased. I mean, T.Y. Hilton, he's an excellent pass catcher, excellent route runner. He's Andrew Luck's favorite weapon, clearly. But everything else is just so up in the air. I mean, even with Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron, like I'm confident our linebackers can guard them. Last week you had to worry about Cameron Bray and O.J. Howard. I mean, you should be able to match up with them. I feel, but
I think this is a bounce back game for the defense.
I do too, and that's just the thing I was about to start saying. Look at the offensive line of Indianapolis. I mean, the Redskins didn't have a great pass rush. They were still able to get to Andrew Luck, force him to throw some interceptions. He threw some interceptions against the Bengals.
He had two of them against Washington.
Yep, yeah, exactly. And neither of those teams have premier pass rushes. And for a team that is weak on the offensive line, you saw how desperate they were. They had to grab Quentin Nelson. I mean, he is one of the best offensive linemen to come out of the draft. But this is... You go between the Giants, Seahawks, and Colts, and those are the three teams that never seem to have on offensive line. And
yeah, and Andrew Luck was getting pressured again last week. I mean, the Redskins only got one sack, but and Washington doesn't have a lot of great pass rushers, but they were still getting. I mean, the pocket after 2-3 seconds, it was very crowded. Andrew Luck had to get the ball quickly to his check down and to the underneath routes.
Yeah, we were making Fitzpatrick get rid of the ball really quick, and I think they game planned well for that. And I'm assuming Frank knows better than the game plan for this defense. I trust he knows what he's doing. Hopefully he makes a mistake and doesn't, but he's
but
a smarter
you want
man
the
than
corners
that.
To play up? I mean, this is another part of why I kind of want
yes,
them playing
always.
Up the line of scrimmage.
I always want them to play press.
The Eagles defense was getting to Fitzpatrick. I mean, they were getting to the quarterback, but he was getting rid of the ball in under 2.5 seconds. And when your corners are playing 5-6 yards off the ball, okay, they're just going to run a comeback route, and Fitz is going to get that ball out quickly. Whereas if you get your hand on, if Jalen Mills is playing press with, or not even, it doesn't even have to be press, but you're just closer to the line of scrimmage. There's times, too, I noticed in the Falcons game when I went back and watched it today, that the corners were playing off coverage, but it wasn't as deep as they were against Tampa Bay.
About 15 yards.
Right, yeah. They weren't immediately backpedaling and just aiming, running for the hills the minute the play was snapped. So, you know, to me, if you have McLeod, say T.Y. Hilton's on Jalen Mills' side and you want to buy the pass rush just a half a second more, get Jalen Mills and get a hand on him quickly and have McLeod over top just in case he does get burned. You have someone there to prevent the big play. I mean, that'll help the pass rush as well, because if not, the Colts are going to take the page straight out of Tampa Bay's playbook and say, all right, the pass rush still might get to Andrew Luck, but we're going to get that ball out in under 2.5 seconds, and T.Y. Hilton's going to have that run after the catchability because you're playing scared.
For sure, and with a team that really struggles to run the ball too, I mean, let's take a look at their statistics. I know when I was watching the film, they weren't running it that great, but you just look. Jordan Wilkins is currently leading their team rushing with 101 yards. After that, it's a whole crapshoot. We know how good the Eagles pass rush is.
They're number one against the rush right now. They're allowing 58 yards per game on average right now. They are dominant.
Yeah, they're absolutely dominating.
You're not running against this Eagles defense.
No, and that's going to be the key to this game. I think first down, hopefully you stop that run, and then I say you play NASCAR package a ton this game. I love what I've seen so far with Michael Bennett on the inside.
Agreed.
I think this is a game where you have to get your edge rushers a split second more. You're going to have to double Fletcher Cox, and I know Michael Bennett can beat a guard one-on-one. This is the game where you have to get to Andrew Luck. You're going to shut down the run game. We know it. You're the best run defense. Assert yourself again.
And he'll force balls. So if you get to him, he's going to try to force some plays in a tight window. And you saw this Eagles defense, if it was anything last week, it was opportunistic with its turnovers. They got Tampa Bay to turn over the ball twice in crucial times of the game. So they got to take advantage of that.
Correct. Yeah, and I think this is the game that you do it. I'd be shocked if the Colts ran for more than 40 yards with what they have personnel-wise on their offensive line and their running backs, but Andrew Luck is, when he's healthy, one of the top quarterbacks in the league for a reason. He knows what he's doing. You really just have to just not do anything you did last week. Do the complete opposite. Scrap the entire playbook from last week. Make the adjustments you need to make this time around. account for T.Y. Hilton's speed, especially when he's on Jalen Mills' side. Play closer to the line of scrimmage and make sure you have over-the-top safety help. That'll be key.
Let me ask you something, because Andrew Luck was at one point the Carson Wentz of the NFL, where he was kind of the poster child. He was the next Tom Brady. He was the next number one quarterback in the NFL when everybody else retires. He dealt with injuries. The Colts failed to really build around him. He did make that AFC Championship the 1 year. You know, each year they got better and better. They took another step in the playoffs, you know, losing in the wild card, then getting a playoff win. Then they got away to the AFC Championship game. Now it seems like Carson Wentz is really that guy. I just saw on The Ringer that they predicted by 2021, Carson Wentz will be the best quarterback in the NFL. Are there any teams right now that would consider, I mean, is it Carson Wentz? Is he seen as the better quarterback now between these two in this matchup? How many teams are taking Andrew Luck still over Carson Wentz, if any? I mean, I know the injury has a lot to do with it, but Andrew Luck has had his fair share of injuries as well.
That's a hell of a question.
I mean, I would take Carson Wentz right now. I'm curious. I'm very curious if both of them were in a draft. You know, we just threw everyone in a pool. Who's the first quarterback taken between the two? Probably Carson Wentz based on age. But, I mean, Andrew Luck isn't an older quarterback, you know? He's still only been in the league for six – this will be his sixth season.
That's a tough question. I mean, the way I would have to think about that is, if Andrew Luck played in the Eagles' offense, how do I think he would do?
Right.
I think he would have really, really good success. I think with a better offensive line, he would have more success, and I think that played into his shoulder injury. That's a toss-up.
Wentz,
I mean,
doesn't have the turnover tendencies, to me. It would be. I mean, they're both mobile. They're both
not
big
last
guys.
Year, but the year before, definitely.
Yeah,
but.
Right. I mean, Wentz does have. He has the. I hate to say gunslinger mentality. He and Andrew Luck are very willing to make plays, and they're willing to take chances. But whereas Andrew Luck, it seems like. It more so results in interceptions at times. Whereas, I don't know, it's a toss-up. It's kind of like debating who's the number one fantasy running back. It's like, okay, well, I guess it's personal preference between Todd Gurley and, you know, whoever, David Johnson at the time. So, like, it's kind of like that where it's just, I don't know, pick your poison. Both are really good. I just think it's an interesting question because they were in similar microscopes, you know what I'm saying, where Carson Wentz is kind of like that Andrew Luck now where people are just assuming he's going to be that next – top quarterback.
It's a toss-up. You really stumped me on that question. I definitely think he's still in the top 10 regardless. I think Carson's in the top 10. I put him right at about the same. That's where I look at those two. I put them, you go Brady, Rogers, Big Ben.
Yeah.
Who else?
Russell Wilson. I would. Is
Russell Wilson
better
if he had a better offensive line?
But I mean, is Russell Wilson better than Carson Wentz and Andrew Luck?
This conversation could go on. This is so tough. This is such a – there's so many variables with that. But
it's so true.
It's not a bad problem to have arguing how good your quarterback is in relation to other good quarterbacks. So
no,
I think 100%. We're in a better place than we were a couple years ago with Sam Bradford.
All right, let's take one more break. We'll come back with our game predictions. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. First look at the Week 3 matchup with the Colts. Don't go anywhere. All right, guys, before we get into our game predictions, I want to talk to you guys about Vivid Seats. You know, if you're looking to get down to Lincoln Financial Field this year, get to one of the games against some of these great teams. If you're going down against Minnesota, you want to troll the Vikings with the Foles chants, you know, the mockery of the skull, which Geno is probably, what, the best troll job in sports history?
Foles.
Exactly.
Foles.
Vivid Seats can help you get down there. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experience that lasts a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. So if you're a theater nut, you know, I don't know if you're big into theater, but you can get down there as well to see a nice theater performance with Vivid Seats as well. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. With the podcast code LOCKEDON, listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. All Vivid Seats confirm orders are backed by 100% guarantee. We thank Vivid Seats for sponsoring the Lockdown Eagles podcast today. Gino, while we wrap up the show, game predictions. I've picked the Eagles in the first two games, and I hate to sound like a homer, but this should be the easy stretch of this Eagles schedule before it gets really tough, and I'm picking them to win. They're the new Seahawks playing at home. You do not want to play the Eagles at the Link. Just ask the Minnesota Vikings. Just ask the Atlanta Falcons. And I think the Eagles are going to put up points. I think this is the offense's breakout game. I'm going to go with a score of 31-24. I think it's a close one. I do think the Colts keep it close. I like Frank Wright in this game to have a good offensive game plan. But I think the Eagles do get it in a close one. I think Carson Wentz maybe a little rusty to start. I'd like to see some big plays to get him going. I think the Eagles win this game.
I think they win it too. I don't think it's as close. I think Indy, what the Eagles have allowed around average of 12 points at home since Jim Schwartz has been the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's
some crazy number. I think they're going to score 10, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think the defense is going to wreak havoc on Indianapolis's offense. Their offensive line isn't still not great. They're going to struggle to really solidify that running game.
I did give them a lot of points. 24 is kind of a lot.
In Philadelphia, yeah. I could see that in Indy, but
all right, I'm gonna bump it down a little bit because I think that's a little too bold. 31-17.
Okay, that's fair. Right. Yeah, I think
I couldn't do that. That's now that I'm thinking about it. They're averaging, on the road they're averaging allowing 22 points a game, but at home I think it's 13 points. So, yeah, I can't bet against that right now.
Yeah, I think they're going to score 10 points. That place is going to be rocking when Carson Wentz comes out. When you hear his name announced, you might feel that vibration up here 300 miles away from Philadelphia, but it's going to be rocking and rolling. I think Carson's going to want to get out to a dominant start. I think they're going to adjust their game plan to do what they should have did the last game. I'll say they score 27 points, final score 27-10.
All right, man, it's going to be exciting. We'll be back tomorrow and then Friday for Geno's guarantees, but I'm feeling the hype, Geno. I know, again, we won the Super Bowl, and it was the Nick Foles story all summer. I was reading his book, and he started the first two games, so it was really the Nick Foles story. But Carson Wentz is so fun to watch play football, just the way he does it. And, you know, he gets Jordan Matthews back this week. Hopefully they can get in the end zones. We can get the all-business celebration and get this thing rolling.
I'd love to see it. I just want to see as many touchdown celebrations as we can. I want to see Carson streaking down the field with that big smile on his face, running up to Jordan Matthews, whoever he throws a touchdown to. I want him to have a hell of a game. He deserves it. He deserves to come back. He deserves to dominate.
Comeback.
He deserves to get a Super Bowl. Let's go.
Absolutely. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. Available is on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE. Follow Gino at Gino_LOE. Check out the website. Posting some great written content. LockedOnEagles.com. Please subscribe to the show. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Basically anywhere you can find the pods, we're up and available. So again, for Gino and Lou DiBiase signing off. Thank you for listening, and go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.